Paulette Jordan has made it official. She's running for the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate. She was Idaho's first female Native American gubernatorial candidate. Jordan, who's a Democrat, lost to Brad Little in 2018. She spoke with our reporter, James Dawson.
Well, thank you for coming in, former Representative Jordan. Listeners will probably remember you from 2018 when you had your gubernatorial campaign. You got about 38% of the votes versus current Governor Brad Little. What have you been up to since then?
You know, I've been doing a lot of work, essentially focusing on what I've learned throughout the campaign that year, which is Idaho needs leadership. And you don't have to be elected to be a leader, first and foremost. You know that when people have a need, and there's definitely a lot of that when it comes to education and healthcare, but more importantly, what our planet looks like in the future for our children to inherit. And as someone who is stemmed in connectivity to the land and connectivity to people, I've learned that we definitely lack leadership there, and I wanted to be a voice for nature, making sure that there's balance not only with humanity, but balance amongst how we treat our water, how we treat our air and our land. And I have started a nonprofit called Save the American Salmon, and I'm focused on also another nonprofit that I'm developing called The Rights of Nature. I'm big on connecting with my land, so I took a lot of time and ceremony back home. And that's really important to me and my culture. And I think a lot of people in Idaho can relate to that because it was a really hard year in 2018. It's very extensive. You put a lot of yourself out there and you give a lot of your own energy and your own spirit. And so to me, it came down to how can I best serve the people of Idaho and how can I best serve our country? And like I said, after I gave it a lot of good thought and good prayer into this process, I have accepted the invitation and decided that I'm going to be announcing that I'm running for U.S. Senate, the state of Idaho.
It's obviously quite a different position than the one that you ran for in 2018, governor of Idaho. Why decide to make that change from kind of a CEO, administrator type position to being one of 100 in the U.S. Senate?
I wholly feel that regardless, and I always feel this, it doesn't take a leader to be elected to do anything that's good or best for the people. You can do that without a title already. I've served in many leadership roles from my tribal council to the state, and of course, even in my private sector field of experience. And I really have felt that whether it's being a mother and being the executive in the household or being on the national boards that I sit on, being a leader there, all of that comes down to how you're able to operate and represent the people with integrity. And when you are able to come with that mindset and the strong set of principles that best serves the people and you have something to offer in that way, I think that's where we truly put ourselves in the best position to do more, being the true voice of this country. And right now, that is simply not the case.
What kind of leadership style would you bring to the U.S. Senate and what would your priorities be if you were elected?
Well, I definitely see how greed has really ripped this country apart, and our current administration has certainly done more so to strip the people of its dignity, and our people deserve dignity and more, and they deserve to be elevated. Instead of being pushed down, they should be allowed their proper place at the forefront. And so my position is to be the voice of the voiceless, and making sure that there's balance to the issues, such as healthcare, which is one of my number one priorities. And it has always been ever since I was inducted into the legislature here. I definitely took that on upon me to see that everyone had access to not only affordable, but accessible healthcare. I'm more for integrative solutions and long-term sustainable healthcare. The second issue I really take on is, of course, the environment. But the environment has always been my mainstay. I've always been the champion and a dire advocate on this issue because it is closest to my heart. And I often remind people that this is part of my genetic code. And so it comes down to how we let the industries come through and waste our resources. How are we going to deal with that? And for me, I need to make sure that I am the biggest advocate when it comes to the environment, and I'm hoping to do so as a representative of our state and a representative of the country. My third issue that I really want to address that I think a lot of people don't pay attention to is cybersecurity. I think it's an issue that is often not talked about because it's, I think it's just because one of those, it's one of those things that people just tend to not think of. But when you're talking to military generals, that is the one issue that they don't sleep at night. A lot of people think, well, cybersecurity, why cybersecurity? But we really just, you know, one misstep or this whole issue with how our country is protected. Everything is very data driven. Everything is, even our election system, you know, can be corrupted very easily through cyber hacking. And our democracy is at stake. I mean, everything from our financial independence, our financial securities, to weaponry, everything can be hacked into.
Bringing it back to nature, just for a second, in the environment, I've heard from several people since the 2018 run. You had an interview in Outside Magazine where you told that journalist that you thought that it might be okay in some instances to have some kind of management when it comes to wilderness designated areas, which is the highest level of protection in the entire country. I'll just read the quote that he wrote for you. "I just think every so often it needs to be thinned to a point where it's healthy enough, but not to be logging to clear cut or anything like that." Is that still the view that you have, where sometimes maybe we should take a look at some kind of forest management options in these wilderness areas?
Well, I think that was, yeah, that's a tough one, because you got to remember, it's hard for me to go back to this gentleman sitting there, but there was also other people coming at me in multiple areas. I think I had five people talking to me. I've always maintained my same position. Protecting the wilderness is key. And I'm thankful that we have a good senator and Senator Frank Church who fought for the wilderness and protections of our land. And that is wholly important. And that's something we're always going to stand on. For me, I come from also a family who manage our forest, and we believe in making sure that we manage the forest correctly and in the best way possible. We've had so many fires up north, and I've learned that thinning is oftentimes the best practice, because when you have wildfires like that, when your stand is too heavily burdened on one another, you're definitely going to have to go in there and try to manage it the best way possible. So thinning each stand has been the responsible solution in our tribal practices. So I've seen that that has been effective. I don't have the ultimate solution in mind, and I am not the person to be addressing this, particularly as I would go to my forester and work with them, because I think we have a team of professionals in the forestry industry, especially those who I was working with at the time in my tribal community. But I think that quote, I think it was unfair, because it wasn't necessarily meant to address that we're going to be mismanaging the lands. It's just that we have to figure out the best solutions. And I'm wholly against clear cutting.
Well, I think that reporter was trying to get at what you thought as of, or in terms of the wilderness area in general, and that sort of designation, like the Frank Church, like other areas throughout the country where, you know, someone on a mountain bike isn't allowed to be there. No mechanized form of really any transportation or machinery otherwise is allowed in there. And so is that something that you would consider or maybe study, look at, or what do you think?
Well, no. So I don't recall him asking that particular question, but you're asking the question. And
sure,
my response is that, especially in any wilderness, especially like Yellowstone National Park, which a lot of us can relate to, all of those national parks should be protected, and there should not be any logging as far as going into heavily cut. I think it needs to be protected and left the way it is. It's nice that we can regenerate certain populations, you know, in this protected area.
What's kind of the strategy, you know, when it comes to raising money or overcoming a 4-to-1 voter registration deficit when you compare Republicans and Democrats? Do you think it's possible to win as a Democrat anymore, since the last one to win in Idaho was in 2002?
Oh, holy. I think the people are ready. They deserve justice and they deserve leadership. I don't think it's about wealth. And if we're talking about wealth, it's more financial. And Rich may have the financial wealth to begin with, but we have wealth in knowledge. I have wealth in leadership. I extend from thousands of leaders who were great in terms of how they represented their people and they represented the land.
Well, speaking of the partisan divide, I don't think you have a much better example than the U.S. Senate. Recently, you had both Senator Jim Risch and Mike Crapo vote to acquit President Donald Trump in the impeachment trial. if you would have been in that room listening to hours and hours of testimony and arguments from both sides, how would you have voted?
One of the issues I found with, you know, both sides is that they were wanting to morally condemn our president, and I find challenges on both sides, because I felt that this is the perfect example of how torn our country is, how partisanship this country has become, and our nation needs to do better and be better than that. I'm thankful that there's others who, you know, very sincere, such as Senator Mitt Romney, who actually came to the floor and said he's prayed upon this issue and went against his own base to say that this is the right thing to do, that this is my vote, and I'm standing on this moral vote of integrity. And he's saying that I believe that this is what we need to do as a people. And I firmly believe in folks who will take the time to connect with themselves and connect with their people to understand that it's not about partisanship, that it's about doing what's right and doing what's best for the people and the country. So for me, I'm always going to do that. I'm always going to reach back to the people. I'm always going to be grounded and connected because that is my moral fabric. But when it comes down to every single decision, it is weighted with millions of people upon each vote. So you definitely want to take that serious. And this is a matter that you cannot sleep on, like our current senator, who has slept even through the readings, especially when it comes to our U.S. Constitution. You cannot sleep on these decisions. But I definitely would have voted against and supported the impeachment process, because our people deserve to be heard. And this matter is a very serious concern.
Former Representative Paulette Jordan, thank you so much for coming in today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.